Okay, appreciate everybody being here. If we got situations in the world today we know about, things we need to be praying about. I already have. I've given them 5 minutes. It's okay. I have permission. All right, we're still talking about the Ten Commandments. We're down to number 8 today. We're going to talk about Thou Shalt Not Steal. Okay, so we'll get into that in just a minute. Prayer list. We have names that need to be mentioned at this time. Need to remember, what's his name? Jack guy? Who's that guy? Dupuchin? Jack Dupuchin. I wonder if that's going to affect his surgery. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, my dad, he's not doing great. He's doing the best he can, I guess, for 101 years old, but, he's having his problems, but, he's kind of sliding downhill. But anyway, appreciate everybody's, thoughts on that, in that matter. Anyone else we need to be thinking about this time?
Dodd Benson and Roy Bench, keep them.
Okay, is there any change in Dodd? Is he still?
Well, I don't think they're looking at it for another week.
Okay. For those that wasn't aware, remember Dodd has some surgery and his foot's not healing. So they're going to go back in and look at it. That's the reason he wasn't here last week. And so we don't know the situation because he's not here today. So that's probably the same situation. He's having to stay off of that foot completely. So let's keep him in mind. Also Roy Bench. Roy seems to be doing a little better. His is healing a little better, but he's still got to be, taken a look at by the doctors. And I think that's, happening. It might happen this week, maybe not. I think Bobby took him, so. Did you get the results of that? I haven't heard how it came out as far as the foot.
She said it looked really good. Okay. And right now it looked like they weren't going to have to do a skin run.
Okay. All right. Good deal. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Let's be thinking about not just the country, but the whole world right now. It's in panic mode right now. And the world doesn't have the same faith that we have. And so I know that they're panicking more than we are. But we'll put everything in God's hands. But still, this is a serious situation. We need to take it seriously. But let's not blow it out of proportion. Okay? All right. Let's have a prayer, please. Holy Father, we're grateful to you for the blessing of being here this day. We are gathered here to worship you. And at this period of time, we're going to study from your holy word. We just pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit this morning that we will reach an understanding of your word as you want it to be understood. We're thankful for the success of people who have gone through recent procedures and surgeries, and we know that others are having to undergo some, and we just continue to ask you to bless them. We ask you to be with Dodd and with Roy, be with Jack in his upcoming surgery. We just pray that everything will be successful, and I continue to pray for my dad and that he will continue to be able to endure the situation which he's in at this time. For all people who are hurting throughout this world, we just ask a special blessing upon each and every one of them. Father, we place our trust in you. We know that you are God. You know that you care for those who are your own. And so we just thank you so much for that blessing that we have. And especially for Jesus, your Son, this morning we give thanks because of what he did on the cross of Calvary by forgiving us of our sins. We pray this prayer in his name. Amen. Okay. If you had to analyze the entire ethics of God's divine will between himself and man, and man's relationship to man, could you think of a term that you could put that in that would kind of sum it up for you? In other words, our ethical response towards God, our ethical response towards one another, as far as God is concerned. Can you think of one thing that might sum that up? Okay.
Because if you love somebody, you're not good.
All right. Okay. Okay. So, what is the greatest commandment? Love God. Keep his commandments, okay? All right. So we've been dealing with some of the commandments. We said most of the commandments are given in a thou shalt not, in a negative way, okay? And so there's a reason for that. I mean, I think we can understand him a little better if he says it that way. A couple of weeks ago, we dealt with the idea of thou shalt not murder, okay? Now, what did that have to deal with? Okay, it went all the way to hate. But we're talking about the idea of how would I say this, a priority or the respect for human life. Everyone is created in God's image. We don't have a right to take someone's life. Now, we know there are circumstances of that. We talked about that. There are exceptions to that rule. We talked about some of those. But the basic idea is that we respect human life because it's created by God and created in His image. Okay. Last week, we talked about the commandment that said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that deals with the idea of respect for our purity. That's the way to say it, I guess. Now, I'm going to confess to you right now, that's the hardest class I've ever taught last week. Okay? You imagine standing here and teaching a bunch of people this age about those things, you know. You might have noticed I was struggling a little bit to try to keep up with it. But it's important that we understand those things. We might say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, yes, it does. It applies to us because not only does it apply to us in the sense of what it says, but we need to be able to teach those things to the younger generations, too. That's one of the good things about motherly love, bringing those girls up and teaching them, you know, the right way. We should have a fatherly love, too, I guess, but, you know, because we need that on both sides, okay? Okay, so we're going to deal with Genesis chapter 20, verse, where is it? I have to write them down. 15. Thou shalt not steal, okay? Now, what would you say this deals with? What's the first thing you think about when you think about stealing? Okay, property, okay. But now this commandment is going to go a lot further than that, okay? Because we can steal more than property. We can steal more than money. There's a lot of things that we're told not to steal with. So this basically deals with respecting other person's property, their personal life, things like that, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about today, all right? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You shall love thy neighbor as thyself. These are kind of the basic principle of Bible ethics that we're talking about. So we're talking about the idea of stealing. Then we're talking about people's rights to personal property. Now, over in Acts chapter 4, everybody knows that situation. There's a story over there where they were there in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost. They had all these people there, and there were a lot of needs that were met. Okay, and what did those people there in Jerusalem do? A lot of them, not all of them, but what did they do? What are we told? Do what? Yeah, they went and sold their property and gave it to the church. For what reason? Yeah, so they could distribute to those who had need. Now, a lot of people will take that and say that that's our basis for what we might want to call kind of a communistic or socialistic type government where everybody is equal and everybody shares equally. I think we misunderstand that a little bit, don't we? Okay. Let's think about the idea of what they were doing. What was the goal of what they were doing? Why were they selling what they had and giving it to the church?
The ladies were widows.
Oh, okay, it wasn't just that, but they took care of that. That deal with the widows and the orphans we see over in Acts chapter 6 where the church was doing that. We'll make reference to that in a minute. In this particular instance, we had all these people that were there for Pentecost and they held over, I'm getting my feast mixed up sometimes. It was the day of Pentecost. That's when preacher Peter preached the first gospel sermon. Okay, and they were so excited about what was taking place that they stayed longer than they thought, you know. You ever do that? You go on a vacation, you don't take enough money along, you know. Got to go rob the bank account or something. Well, they didn't have ATMs, you know, so they were hanging around. So they had to feed those people somehow. So they were taking donations and helping to feed those people and, you know, take care of their daily needs is what it amounted to. They had a need and they took care of it. This was kind of a one-time thing, wasn't it? Okay? There was no command for those people to sell their property. There was no command for them to give. They simply did it out of the generosity of their heart. Now, the reference was made to Barnabas, the son of encouragement. He's the one that kind of spearheaded this thing. He's the one that started all this because he said he had a piece of property and he sold it and gave the goods and people saw it and they said, well, that's great, you know. And so they fell in and helped out a little bit there too. There was no command for them to do that. In fact, when we get over in Acts chapter 8, we read the story about Ananias and Sapphira. Remember the situation there? You know, people were praising people for what they were doing, and Ananias and Sapphira. That's what I said, wasn't it?
No,
I said 8. You sure I said 8? She's always correcting me, huh? I know I said 5. I meant 5. Okay, all right. That's 5. Okay. That's all right. Look up, read the whole book, okay? But anyway, Ananias and Sapphira, and they saw what was going on, and they thought, hey, this is great. You know, so they went and sold it. They had a piece of property, and they went and sold it. Okay, and what did they do? Yeah, they gave some of it, which was a good thing, and they kept some of it. And lo and behold, we see God striking them dead. Why? Okay, didn't have anything to do with the property, did it? Didn't have anything to do with it. That's you know, we think, well, they should have gave it all. You know, that's not what it says. Peter, in fact, he says, when that property was yours, it was yours to do with what you wanted. Okay, you didn't have to sell it. And he said, after you sold it, you didn't have to give the money. The problem was that you lied to the Holy Spirit, and they fell down dead. Okay, so I'm telling you all this to say that the early church was not a communistic church. It was not a socialistic church. People had the right to own property. They had the right to sell property if they wanted to. And so this is the idea of what we're talking about today, is that everybody has this right. Yes, sir.
Back up there in verse 32, what it says is that they all believed of one heart and of one soul, and neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common.
Okay.
What that's saying is not that they divvied up their goods and had everything common. It's that they thought, if you need it, I've got it, I'll share it.
And that's what we want to talk about today. That's the idea. Okay, someone read for me Ephesians 4, I think it's 28. Let me double check and see here. Yes, it is. Ephesians 4 and 28. What does it say? If you get there, go ahead and read it. Anybody?
Let him that's gold steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Okay, so what do we see here? If you had a guy that was stealing, you know, to get his provisions, say he becomes a Christian, and the instructions are, well, it wasn't just for Christians, but we'll take this example. Don't steal anymore. What are you supposed to do? Okay, work with your hands. All right, for what purpose?
To share.
Okay, not only to share, to take care of what you need, and then that you can have something to share. That's the basic principle behind what we as Christians are to do. We're supposed to work for our living, okay, earn our living, so that we can have provisions to take care of ourselves and our family, and then we're supposed to share, you know, with those around us. So that's the idea behind the idea of ownership for Christians. So any way you look at it, stealing is wrong. Okay, and that's what's being condemned by this particular passage. All right, let's look at the ethics behind personal property. Over in Matthew chapter 25, we read a story about a man who was going on a journey. And he had three stewards, and so he gave to those stewards a certain amount of goods. He gave to one 5 talents, he gave to one 3 talents, and he gave to one talent. And we're familiar with the story, aren't we? Okay, tell me how this story progresses. What's going on? Oh, by the way, when I think of a talent, I usually think of some little coins. In today's market, a talent would be worth a little over $1,000. So he gave them a pretty good chunk of money. Okay, it wasn't just a couple of copper coins that he gave them. So we got 5, 3, and 1. Now, what is the distinction he made there? Why did he give 1, 5, 1, 3, and 1, 1? According to their ability. So what does that tell us? Are you a 1 talent man, 2 man, or a 3 talent man, 5 talent man? You know, that's something that we have to figure out for ourselves. Okay, but he says the owner, the master, went away on a journey. All right. What was expected of those stewards while he was gone? Okay, to take it and use it and give an increase, all right? So the owner comes back. 5 talent man comes in. And what did he say? Yeah, here's the 5, and I gave you 5 more, all right? The 3 talent man, same thing, all right? What did that master say to those 2 men?
Well done.
Well done. Blessed are you, okay? And so 5 and 3 got the same blessing. Okay? The 1 talent man, what did he do with his? Yeah. I knew you were a harsh man, you know, and I didn't want to lose this talent, so I buried it in the ground. Now you're home, and here it is back again. Now, what did he call him?
Wicked and lazy
You wicked, lazy, slothful, lazy servant. Why did he condemn him? He didn't lose the money, did he? He didn't waste it. Okay. Why did he condemn him?
He said he should have positively got interest.
Yeah, at least put it in the bank and drew some interest and you get back. What does that tell us about God? Well, you tell me, who is the master in this story? Okay, it's God, obviously. It obviously is. He's gone away. Okay, and he's coming back. So what do we learn from this? Which means? Okay, yeah. Well, what are we talking about money? We could be. We could be. What else could we be talking about? Abilities, talents, okay. Time, okay. So what does that tell us? Everything that we have belongs to God. And He's put it in our possession and He expects us to use it. Okay? That's what we talked about a while ago. We work, you know, we earn a living and we share. Okay? That's the idea behind it. That's kind of what we learned from this parable. Okay? God expects people to use what they've given. Does that say something about the world today? People are standing in line say, gimme, 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 you know, that type of thing. Okay? The United States could learn a few things from the Bible, couldn't it? You know, the world could learn a few things from the Bible. Okay? Now, the civil law says you can own property or you can hold another person's property in trust, you know, that you can use and then pay them for using that. God's law says everything belongs to God and I place it in your hand as a steward. Okay? That's something I think that we need to be driven into our minds over and over again is the fact that we are stewards of everything that we possess. Time, money, talent, education, it doesn't matter. You know, everything belongs to God. And He requires us to use those things. And if we don't, we're wicked, lazy, slothful servants. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Somebody turn over there and read it. Chapter 6, verse 21.
You want to do 19 to 21?
Yeah, 19 through 21.
Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Okay, what do we learn from that? Yeah, don't treasure those possessions too highly. You know, don't put your trust in those things. You know, I saw something this morning that I thought just amazed me that we could learn from this situation we're in right now with this virus and everything. He said within a week, all the basketball and pro football for all, they're all shut down. All our educational systems closed down. We confined ourselves to our home, the schools and everything closed down. And what the point was they were making is all this happened within just a week. You know, all closed down. And a lot of our churches are closed down today. And I'm not blaming people for that. I'm just saying that we take those things for granted sometimes. And they can be taken away from us in just a matter of minutes. So God says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Okay? They're susceptible. All right. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 and 18. First Timothy 6, 17 and 18. Someone have it?
Tom? Whoever is united with the Lord is one with Him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality.
Is that First Timothy, Tommy?
No,
is that First Timothy?
Timothy, excuse
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Go ahead. Look, we'll wait for a second.
Sorry.
We'll give First you a minute.
Timothy
number. First Timothy, chapter, I said 7. I got to go back. 6. Yeah, 6, 17 and 19 through 19.
Good and be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share.
Okay, remember the story about Job and his three friends that came to visit him? You know, Job had everything taken away from him. Those three friends came and gave him some advice. What was the advice that they gave Job? Well, they were trying to tell him that he was being punished for a reason. Okay. Yeah. Cough it up, confess your sin, and God will forgive you. And of course, Job kept on saying, I haven't done anything, you know. And of course, they worked on him over and over and over again, you know, saying, yeah, you obviously are. See, that was the common conception of the people who lived back then. If you were blessed like Job was, then it was because, you know, God liked you. And if you were poor, it's because he didn't like you. Okay. Do we still think that way in the world today? Let me tell you, I can name a lot of people I know that got a lot of money, and they're the most unethical people you'd ever want to see, you know. So, and then there are a lot of poor people or some of the most righteous people that you could ever meet. So possession of money does not determine, you know, God's attitude towards you. Okay? It's not the possessions you have that make you what you are. It's what's in your heart. Okay, that's what God's looking for. Yes, exactly right.
They thought the rich man was the holy
man. Yeah.
Yeah,
because God blessed him.
The guy that kept walking by the beggar, Lazarus, at the gate, he had nothing. He woke up in the bosom of death. And the rich man was in hell.
Yeah. So possessions don't matter. Don't have anything to do with spirituality, right? Okay. So it's not a sin to be poor, and it's not a blessing to be rich. Well, I mean, it's a blessing, but sometimes we don't see it. I'm just saying it's not God's blessing, okay? So we need to change our way of thinking a little bit. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the idea of owning property, why we own property, and why it's not wrong to own property. But let's talk a little bit about some scriptural ethics concerning our money. So there are several things that we need to be aware of that we need to do with the monies that we possess. Okay, now these are not in order of priority or preference. But they're all important. And one thing is that we need to support the church with our money. Okay? When you have a church with a building like this, there are a lot of expenses that need to be taken care of. Okay? Even outside the local, you know, we like to support missionary efforts and things like the disaster relief and things like that. They all require money. Okay, so God gives us jobs to earn money so that we can take care of those needs. And so we should learn to designate a portion of our money to help with those things. Okay, 1 Timothy. No, that's not the one I was looking for. Go ahead and go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. We'll get there in just a minute. But when it comes to this, even right here, you know, we print a bulletin. We have expenses for telephones and running cars. And, yeah, all the things that you see here, the communion, paying the bill for this building. God didn't give us the building. You know, He gave it to us, but He didn't give it to us. You understand what I'm saying? And so we have a responsibility to maintain those things, to take care of those things. So that requires us to give of our means. And so that's what we do. Okay. All right. That's one thing. The second thing that maybe should have been number one priority here was the fact that we need to support our families. Okay. Isn't that what we said about the thief? Let him steal no more, but work with his hands so that he can take care of his family. Somebody got that passage I mentioned there in 1 Timothy chapter 5? 8. Okay, so that's pretty strong, isn't it? Okay, you got these old deadbeat dads and things like that won't take care of their own family. Now, let me ask you a question. What is that family? What does that include? Does that mean my wife and kids? Yeah, it means the wife and kids. Is that it?
The parents.
Parents, okay. Does it go any further than that? Well, yeah. So some that aren't cousins, some that we didn't even know. You know, whatever it takes. That family is kind of a general term. If you have the ability, then, you know, if there's a need, then, you know, take care of that need. Okay? All right. The next thing we want to talk about is the idea of the relieving of human suffering. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Okay, so now we're taking in everybody, especially the household of faith. Who are we talking about, the household of faith? You and you and you and you. If there's a need, we take care of it. Okay? We started here what we call our benevolent fund, where we, on the fifth Sundays, we took up a collection, and that was great. I commend everybody for that. And we kind of dispensed with that when we got ourselves in a little financial crunch, you know, but there's still some of that money in that account, and we're still using it for when things arise. You know, it's nice to have that there, and we can say, there's a need, you know, we'll take care of it. And it's been used very well. I think that is a great thing that we do. You know, sometimes people just reach in their pocket, and here you go. You need this, I'm going to help you, okay? That's great. That's what we need to do. Now, I have one little problem. I want to make a stipulation on when you do that, and I commend you for doing that. But when you do it, is there an attitude that you should have toward when you do that? I mean, it's great to, you know, hand people $100 or take them a bill of goods to for eating, you know. And normally when we do that, what are they going to say? Thank you very much. Oh, this is going to help me so much. What should be your response to that? There you go. Give God the credit. Okay. It's great to feed somebody. That's good. But if that's all you're doing, you know, we're missing why we do it. Why do we do benevolence? It's more than just feeding somebody. It's teaching them that that's the way God is. That's the way God wants us to be. And if we're going to do it, fantastic. But, you know, give the church or give God, you know, the glory for that. And then you've done a whole lot more than just feeding somebody. Okay? So you have to do it by all means, but make sure the credit goes to the right one. That's what they were doing over in Acts chapter 6 when they were talking about taking care of the widows and the orphans. You know, that's what the local church was doing there in Jerusalem. And that's what we do also. So we still contribute to those type of funds. And we want to continue to do those things because those are things that we need to do. All right, now I'm going to get nosy. Scriptures also teach us that we should support our local governments. Not just the local, but government. Okay, how do we know that? Okay, give to Caesar. What's Caesar? Give to God. What's God's? Okay, I wonder if I wrote this one down. No, I didn't write it down. There's a passage that that Paul wrote over in, I believe it was in Romans, I should have wrote it down, that talks just along this same line, that we have a responsibility to pay our taxes, to support our government, because the government has to have money to run too, and we're under the government's authority, and God put those officials in power for that reason. Okay? Now that gets close to home sometimes. We think about government and say they're robbing us and, you know, and all the thing, but we have that responsibility. Pay your taxes, you know, and do what you need to do. Looks like you want to say something. That may be it. Do you know where it's at there? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, there was another one that went along that same line. But
every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God.
Okay.
The powers that are ordained are of God, and whosoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation and judgment.
Okay. Okay. Now, that involves paying your income taxes. You ever see people that cheat on their income taxes? Maybe make some claims that they shouldn't claim to have not pay in as much money? Okay. That falls right into the category here. That has to do with stealing. Okay, so just think along those lines. Okay. Same thing applies, okay. Of course they were lying about giving it to church, but it's the same principle, okay? All right. So we'll deal with that a little bit more in a minute. Okay. The best antidote that I can think of for overcoming the lust of possessions is to have a liberal Christian dispensation. In other words, have the spirit of giving, and that'll take away of a lot of that lust for money. Okay? All right. Say that again now?
You can't outgive God.
Oh, yes. Exactly right.
You have to attitude that it's his, and I'm just giving it, and he's going to fill it back up.
Yeah. You ever tell that story about the guy that all he had was $10, okay, and the collection plates were coming around, and he was tempted to hang on to that. He said, that's all I've got to get by on the week, you know. And the temptation was there, and it was there, you know, and he says, well, I can give five. And, you know, by the time the plate came around, he just took the whole $10 and put it in there. He says, I've never been tempted again since then not to give money, you know, because the devil figures he's going to give it all and we just won't tempt him anymore, you know. That's a good theory, you know, think about. The devil won't tempt you if he knows that you're liberal, okay? All right, let's deal with some, in the time we've got left now, some personal ideas of how we can violate this rule about stealing. Thou shalt not steal. How do we violate this rule? We've been talking a little bit in general, but I want some specifics now. How do we violate the rule, thou shalt not steal? Yes.
Sometimes we make commitments.
Okay.
When our contribution
was to make
a really good
commitment,
whatever.
Okay. Okay. You know what? That doesn't just have to do with your contribution. That can do with anything. Okay. Okay. You jumped over here on me, but that's okay. There's no order to these, all right? So we'll deal with it. What about if you go out and borrow on a loan for a house or a car or a school loan or whatever, and you don't pay it back? Now, I know there's things that can happen, okay? We all know that we get in financial crunches sometimes, okay? But you just refuse to pay back what you borrow. Maybe it's from a friend. You borrowed $10 from a friend, and you refuse to pay it back. You know, that bothers me. You borrowed this money, and now legally we can get that reduced, and you don't have to pay it back. Does that sound ethical to you? It's not. It's not. Of course, I'm not saying these outrageous rates that these people are charging in for that money is right either. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute also. It's on both sides there. But if you make a commitment, keep your commitment. Okay? Now, there's an obvious rule that we know that happens, and that's if you just go out and steal something from somebody. You take something that doesn't belong to you. It's their possession, and you go and take it. Okay? That's obvious, and usually that's the first thing we think of when we think about this idea, is that, you know, that's what he's prohibiting, but it goes even further than that. All right.
I also think about when I was working, people on their timesheets, they'd go, oh, well, they worked 15 minutes over, they mm-hmm. needed an hour or something mm-hmm. like that. Well, that adds up.
Okay, you're on the idea of employer-employee relationships. Let's talk about that. What is an employer's responsibility towards an employee? Okay, not only should you get paid, but you should get paid a fair wage for what you do. In other words, don't pay a low-ball salary to somebody, you know, just so you know you can do it. You know, you got them where you want them, and you're going to demand a low price. That's usury, okay? You should pay them what it's worth. All right, now on the opposite side of the coin, what about an employee?
My dad said the very first job I took was a job chemical, and he said, if they're going to pay you $2.50 an hour, you work $2.50
an hour. Yeah, and that's if you agree to it, even if the employer is lowballing you agree to it, you know, then you give them a full day's work for a full day's pay. If you're not, you're stealing your time. Okay? So that's something we need to think about. All right? Can you think of anything else that might apply here?
Well,
The what?
Supplies that they're
okay, yeah. Oh, they're not going to miss that pencil. They got plenty of pencils, you know. You're exactly right. What about these guys that pad their expense accounts? You know, charge more than they should. All these things apply. We could go on and on and on about things like this, you know. But we need to be aware that those things are not yours. If I take them without permission, what about, you know, like using company equipment? You know, all those things apply. Okay, so that's stealing. Right. So we need to keep that in mind. Okay, there was over in Deuteronomy chapter 25 some laws given towards merchants. Okay, and they were told that when you buy and when you sell, you use the same weights. Okay, a lot of times they would have a little light weight for one thing and a heavier weight for another thing. You know, and so that way they could increase their profits by buying cheap and selling for more. You ever hear that story about the butcher and the chickens? Y'all probably ought to have heard that one, hadn't you? The lady wanted to feed a family, and she went in the butcher shop and said, I want the best chicken you got. You know, I got a family coming in, and I want to feed them. And he looked down, and he only had one old scrawny chicken, you know, and he flopped it up there on the weights to weigh it. And she said, oh, no, that'll never do. That'll never do. You got anything better? He reached down and put it underneath the counter, flipped it back around, and flopped it back up there, and he put his thumb on it this time and pushed down so it would weigh more. And she said, oh, man, that's fantastic. I'll take both of them. So they're told, those merchants were told, you be fair in your dealings with your public, okay, and don't use two sets of weights. You know, use the same weights for buying and the same weight for selling, okay? So how can that apply to us today? Remember when, well, it may not be up here, but down on the coast when the hurricanes come in, almost like the toilet paper on the shelves here, they went out the door down there, everything. You know, food, water, you couldn't buy it. But they had to pass laws to prevent those merchants from gouging prices. Okay, every time an emergency arose, they would gouge their prices. Biggest thing was when lumber companies would gouge their price on plywood because people would use it for boarding up their windows, and all of a sudden the hurricanes come and up went the price. So you had to have a government step in and say, don't do that. The biblical principle is don't take advantage of situations like that. Okay, don't do that. So that's the idea behind that. Okay, think of anything else? There's something that's it's not tangible, but something we need to think about, and something we've been dealing with in this country over the years, and we've gotten better about it, okay? Well, that's the idea of not paying a fair wage to, like, women, to other races, like blacks and Irish and the Chinese. Remember when all those were going on, you know? You could hire them and pay them just a minimum, whatever you wanted to, and get away with it. And so they took laws and regulations to help people to stop doing that and not taking advantage of people. You're stealing. That's what you're doing. You're not paying them what is right. Okay. Now, I think we could go on and on about some of these things, but the last thing that we need to talk about here is the idea of stealing from God. Okay. Isn't that what Malachi talks about over in Malachi chapter 3? You know, he said, bring the goods into the storehouse. You know, he said, will a man rob God? He said, but you have robbed God by not bringing your tithe. Those people were required to give 10%, but that 10% was of their produce that they produced. All in all, if you took all of the things that they gave over 20% of what they gave to the treasury. Now, we don't have a set figure today. We like to kind of have that figure, 10% in our mind, and that's okay. That's not bad. But we're not told how much to give. Well, we are, aren't we? But not a dollar-wise. We're told the attitude with which we should give, right? Give as you purposed in your heart. And that kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier, about being liberal with what we're doing. All right, so keep that in mind. We've got a couple minutes. I want to mention one thing to us. There was, in the Old Testament, a law concerning restitution. And I think the world could learn a big lesson from this today. If you stole something for someone, or if you found something and kept it knowing it was wrong, you were required to not only return what you stole or what you kept, but you had to give 20% more than what you took. Now, if it was livestock, because they were very dependent upon their livestock, if you took someone's cow, you had to give that cow back plus 5 more. If it was a sheep, you had to give the sheep back plus 4 more. Okay? What I'm talking about, there was a sense of restitution that had to be made. I think we could learn from that today. I mean, we take these people that are guilty of those things and we put them in the jails out here and we feed them and we clothe them and we entertain them, you know, and try to rehabilitate them, which really doesn't work. What would be wrong with giving them a job, you know, and let them pay portion of their job back to the restitution that they owed those people, you know? That'd be a lot less tendency for people to steal and do things then. Just an idea. This is me thinking here. I'm not a politician. I don't know how you'd do that. I don't even know how you would manage it. But it worked in the Old Testament. I don't know why it wouldn't work today. You know, I think we've just gotten too smart today, you know, for some reason. We've got too gentle with our society. We're in this kinder, gentler society. And we forget that there needs to be some restitution for the wrongs that we do. Okay, I'm going to have to quit right out of time. But I'd love to spend some time talking about this because I think it's a great idea. But, general rule, do not steal. Stealing is wrong. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's time. Whatever it is, if it doesn't belong to you, don't take it. Okay? That's just the idea of personal property. Comments, questions? Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
When you were saying you would not use your company's equipment, mm-hmm. I mean, I've backed stuff through the years. I've made a copy of my own personal property. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it made me think of what we're supposed to be doing now. We're supposed to not touch our face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go somewhere and we use the hand sanitizer, mm-hmm. then we touch our steering wheel, mm-hmm. then we open our car door, we go in our home, we touch that door off. Mm-hmm. We've already, you know, and you've got company there, so everybody's using the same hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm.
Constantly being aware.
And
that's one thing about us as Christians is we ought to be above that. And sometimes, you mentioned that. I got tickled a while ago. I was watching Jim Smith, and he came in and he picked up that hand sanitizer and he picked it up and set it down. And I thought, what about the next person that comes along? Well, they're going to wash it away. It's okay. All right. Just something. Appreciate everybody. Thank you.